And welcome back, everybody. It's another episode of Benched with Bubba, episode 790. We are turning our full attention to 2026, folks. Steamer projections came out over the last week or so. So we're going to talk a little Steamer pitching, like early initial thoughts, looking at the Steamer projections. We'll get to that and peruse the pitching landscape for 2026. Before we get to that, you can find me on Twitter at BDIntric and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at BreakingBen_T Bented. How you doing, my friend?
Good to be back, Bubba. We're talking about FPAS, so I'm glad you had a good time. And I have, not that I'm moving on to 2026 yet per se, but yeah, like you said, our time of looking back on 2025 is probably over now, which is exciting in itself. So like I mentioned, it hasn't really started for me 2026 yet, but being in the Discord with you and with for the Bubba and the Bloom Patreon, it's and seeing people talk about drafting, I'm getting a little bit excited. I'm looking forward to drafting, but I probably have like a month before I start doing my prep. So we're getting there, but gotta be patient.
Yeah, there's a lot of good discussions going on in that Discord considering it's November 13th and we're talking, you know, is William Contreras a top five catcher? We did a big Anthony Volpe talk like 2 weeks ago. We had a lot of relief pitching chatter the other day. Like, there's a lot going on in there, which is very good to see that the wheels are churning for many. There are a lot of people drafting with gladiators and slow drafts. I'm waiting for a slow draft to fill right now. Not complaining. It's probably for my own good that it's taking its sweet time to fill. But it's good to be back. Ryan's pumping out the sheets, getting ready. The draft tracker should be out maybe by the time you're listening to this. There's a lot of good stuff coming your way to get ready, as it is for some of us draft season. For the smart people like Ben, you got a month or so to go before you hop into that one. But we'll get you ready for it with a ton of intriguing dives into projections and much more as every projection system comes out. We'll start poking holes at all of them and see where they go. But we're going to start, Ben, with Steamer, because it's always the first one to come out. Came out a little over a week ago. I think it was like last Tuesday or Wednesday when Steamer dropped, and we got the pitching projections. We're starting with that because we did a little dive in this last year. You friendly reminded me about it. I found it ironic, though, when we were texting about this, that most of us say when we use projections for fantasy, don't care about pitching projections. So here we are talking about pitching projections out the gate, but there are takeaways that you can have with pitching projections. That's why we're talking about it. So Ben, before we start talking players, you put a little grid together from past season's performance. Look at 2025 for Steamer. What do you have for us here that stands out?
Yeah. So if listeners can recall, if you've been with Bubba for a while, like you said, we went over like a high level overview of how Steamer has done going back to 2022. So it was looking at 2022, 2023, 2024. We did this last year and comparing different thresholds of innings and strikeouts for starting pitchers. And then this comparing to what actually happened in those seasons. So I'm not going to go back and rehash what happened in 2022, 2023, and 2024, but I want to start with 2025 because when we did the show this time last year, late 2024, it was 11-12 and we had Steamer out. And at that time, of course, we didn't know what was going to happen in 2025. So now here we are, we know what happened. And at the same time, I was looking at when I had saved the file last, I said, oh wow, this is November. There were updated projections throughout the entire winter. And then of course, when I was drafting in March. So I threw in the same thresholds for the 2025 Steamer projections as of March 24th of this year. And I wanted to compare all three. So the projections of 2025 in 11-12-2024, when we first did the show, and then what happened in March, and then what were the actuals. And then of course, we have the same thresholds for the current projections for next season, 2026, that we'll compare to as well. But this as a reminder, no one's gonna remember this, of course, but just to go through what it was last November for the 2025 season, there were 15 pitchers who were projected for 190 plus innings. And then when we got back to March, it dropped down to 8. So it basically was cut in half from when Steamer first got published. And it turns out that 9 pitchers actually hit 190 innings last year. So the March update was much more accurate than when Steamer first got released back in last November. And it's kind of the trend. So for 170 plus innings and the thresholds as I go down are inclusive. So the guys who are in 190 innings are included in the 170 plus as well. So of all pitchers that had 170 plus projected innings, there were 59 of those by Steamer last November. Come March, it went down to 43, and then the actual was 34. So when we first looked at this, there was 25 more pitchers projected for 170 plus innings than we actually had this past season. So that's a lot of a big decrease right there. And then the biggest one that stood out to me was the 150 plus inning pitchers. We did this last November. It was 117 pitchers. And mind you, there's like 150 starters in the majors at any time. So that's four-fifths of the league was projected for 150 plus innings, which is way too many. Yeah. Come March, it went down to 84. So it dropped 33 pitchers. And then the actual was only 70. So last November, they were over-projecting by 47 pitchers to hit 150 plus innings. So that's a massive amount. And then Ks are kind of similar. 200 plus Ks was at 17 in November, went down to 14, and then actually 12. So not as big of a drop. The 180 Ks was a big drop. So there were 41 in November. That went down to 23, and they actually nailed it. So there was 23 in reality who had 180 plus strikeouts last year. And then the last threshold we'll mention, 160 plus Ks. It was 64 in November, ended up being 57 come March, and then in actuality, it was 36. So pretty big overestimate there. But I wanted to point out the drop from November to March to make you listeners aware of the numbers that are out right now for Steamer could change a ton come even January, let alone March. So it was like 190 plus innings last November. Right now it's 8 for 2026. So the 190 plus threshold for innings is kind of like the March update for Steamer as it is right now. So I don't know if it's going to go down. Maybe there's a good chance it actually goes up come March perhaps, but I found it interesting that it's already starting out so low. And and even comparing 2025 to 2024 actuals, it's not a big difference. The 170 inning threshold was off by 11, but the 150 plus was only off by one pitcher. And the guys with 190 plus innings were identical. There was 9 in 2024 and 2025. So it's not like a big environmental shift. It's just maybe Steamer's smarter now. I don't know. Maybe they realized that they kind of overdid it when they first got released. But that's something that whoever does the projection for Steamer would have to answer to.
Yeah, I'd be really curious to see how the March 2026 Steamer looks. Like you said, it's almost picking up where it left off at March of last year, to your point, like very similar in that regard, at least closer to the way the season ended, kind of with the projections. Because when we were talking about this before the show, I was like, how could he project 117 pitchers to throw 150 innings in this era of baseball? Like, I think we're all wise enough to know that's probably never going to happen again. I like to bet on. So it's pretty interesting, the projection system, especially in Steamer, who is usually one of the more, I guess, I always say cautious, but a lot more of a floor-based projection system, you would think would be more timid on the 150-plus innings. And it's funny, too, because I was texting you earlier about some other stuff, and then we talked about another hitters, and we're looking at they're having a lot of playing time questions at the moment. So whenever some of these updates start coming, as Ben mentioned, as the preseason goes along, we might see the pitching sides tighten up a bit, but we're also going to see some of these hitting playing time situations kind of iron out, because maybe they're curious, is a guy had an off-season surgery, or there was platoon questions at one point, or yada, yada, whatever. But I think we all sit back and go, there's a good chance that, like, he's closer to Steamer 600 than the projections that are out there right now, so on and so forth. That's a different podcast. That's hitters. Just wanted to bring it up that when you're looking at projections and you're trying to, I guess, maybe make your own personal rankings, or you're a smart person like Ben or somebody else that, you know, inputs into a sheet and you can, you know, toy with playing time to help you with your values, keep that in mind with these early projections. There's probably gonna be a lot of moving and shaking, it looks like, as we get closer to even January, like get to the new year. I don't know when the next Steamer update will be. I'm guessing it'll be a while. Maybe get the hot stove going a little bit would probably be a good start. They just threw these out there. But, yeah, it's interesting to see, especially on the pitching side, that things got pretty much cut in half. But then to start 2026, we're a lot more in line with the way 2025 finished, or at least March of 2025's projections were. So quite interesting, at least to me.
Yeah, one thing I'll add real quick, because we mentioned it off air, and I want to have the listeners here too. And I was kind of wondering why the 117 pitchers with 150 plus innings last November, why it was so high. And I was thinking, well, okay, like at least the way it is right now, there's so many free agents who are still unsigned. Like it hasn't even started yet, the signings. So I was thinking maybe Steamer's projecting all these guys that are going to get signed, but then they also have the current rotation replacements that, like, if you were to look at roster resource, everyone is a free agent, isn't on a roster, so you have to have guys in those rotations.
True.
So I think that could be a reason why, but maybe they're smarter now and they're cutting off 20 pitchers right away. And I don't think I actually read the 2026 threshold, so I'll read it real quick. So as it stands, 190 plus innings, there's 8 pitchers currently projected for that. 170 plus innings is 52. 150 plus is only 97. And historically, it's been below 100, but by a lot more than 97. So it's still leaning on the high side when it comes to 150 plus innings, at least historically last few years. 200 plus Ks is 13. 180 plus Ks is 27. And 160 plus Ks is 52. So not a whole lot of guys. So it's not exact, like, obviously it's 200 innings versus 190, or 200 Ks versus 190 innings, but I don't even know why I chose those thresholds when I first did this. I just thought those numbers sounded good. But when you look at 150 plus innings and 160 Ks, there's a lot more guys projected for 150 plus innings and than there are for 160 plus strikeouts. So that's telling me that the K per nine ratios for a lot of these guys aren't the best. That could be like the workhorses, quote unquote, those inning projections. So
Michael Walkers of the world.
Yes. If Seth Lugo's up there, I'm sure he's projected for a lot still. Cause guys like that, guys with those low strikeout rates could have a decent volume based projection, but you may not want to be drafting them. And that's kind of to Bubba's point about at the start of the show, where we don't always look at pitcher projections, but there's some value. It's just not as valuable as with hitters, I think.
Yeah, because on paper, obviously baseball to me is one of the most difficult sports to predict. You know, football, running backs expected to get 15 to 20 carries. You can almost pencil those in barring an injury. You know, basketball, you have a starting five, the point guard's going to get, you know, you could kind of flow of games and whatnot project things a lot better for those sports. When it comes to baseball, it's do you get 3 or 4 at bats and you got to hit a baseball? Do you get a strike? Like, there's a million factors involved that you're trying to predict. Pitching's even crazier because it's how many innings, is there a pitch count? They have more. I'm probably wrong. It feels like they have more injuries than positions, but I'm probably wrong on that one. When you look at it, it just feels like they're more dramatic because it's a bigger part of your team when it takes place more often than not. But there seems like there's a ton more volatility in projecting a pitcher than a hitter, because a hitter is at least going out there probably 5-6 times a week. A pitcher, you have a smaller 32 games. Like we talked relief pitchers on Thursday night or Tuesday night with Bloomfield. You get such a small sample, it really skews what really took place. I'm probably going down a different rabbit hole now. But with the pitching, it's tricky. But to your point, like, it's the old adage, okay, you got your model out for dollar values. You start tweaking, like, okay, so if I believe that, say, Jacob DeGrom has this K per nine and these ratio rates per innings, those kind of things, and now I can play the innings game, what makes him a target ahead of his ADP? Okay, you can utilize that. That's fine. There's value to that. But to sit back and just go, hey, projections say he's going to throw 190 innings to strike out 170, it's a lot harder, easier said than done, probably. So much different. Speaking of players, let's talk about them, Ben. Let's look at these early Steamer projections. And again, it's smart guy charts. He made Z-scores for us here. So before we get started, Ben, I guess you can tell everybody what we'll be looking at. It should be pretty straightforward, as long as I don't say more word salad out there and explain that. But it should be pretty self-evident here.
Yeah, if you were to punch the projections into an auction calculator on FanGraphs or something, I'm sure they'd be pretty similar order wise. But we're looking at Z-scores. For anyone who forgets or hasn't heard me talk about them before, basically you're comparing a pitcher's or any stat, homers, strikeouts, wins, whatever, to you're comparing each individual player's stat to the population average and standard deviation. And it's seeing how far from average the pitcher in this case is in each stat from the average. And when I make the Z-scores, I create it's like a sample instead of a population. The sample is of pitchers with 50 plus innings, because I want to capture the some relievers as well, especially like the closers, because saves are a part of the math that goes into it. And yeah, so we have a list that's using the Seamer projections, and it's sorted by highest Z-score. And once we name off the first three, the first few pitchers, it's going to make sense that it's a solid valuation method. So is what I'll say. So
it pretty much means the projections check out, at least on paper. When your top guy is actually by a wide margin, I don't know what the actual like value is per difference here, but I imagine a 17.1 Z score to 14.8 in second place. That's pretty large at this point in time. And that's Tarek Skubal leads the way, AL Cy Young winner. And the guy at 14.8 is Paul Skenes, the NL Cy Young winner. And the third guy that's just behind Paul Skenes is Garrett Crochet. So to Ben's point, I just wanted to read them off because we don't have a whole lot of analysis, I don't think, on these guys. But they're horses. They're in your 190-plus innings, your 200-plus strikeout club, Ben. And, the projections love these boys.
I think – so if we were to do this back in this upcoming March, I think the Skubal value will come down. Because when I saw the 17, that's very high for a pitcher, at least from what I recall seeing from doing this over the last few years. But, if you look at his projection, it's just unbelievable. Like, he's one of the two guys with under a 3 ERA, almost 250 strikeouts projected. That's pretty insane. So that's why his value is so high.
And one thing I'm going to say, and it makes sense if you just use your brain on this one, a lot of the 190 to 200 plus strikeout guys are in the top 20 on this sheet. Like the top eight all have 190 plus in the K department. So, so it's just another tool. Like, again, will they do it? Who knows? But if you can use the projections and you're looking for maybe you want to start drafting a strikeout heavy arsenal, like, here you go. Like, they have them right here for you. And you got your usual suspects like Skubal, Skenes, Crochet, even Sales up here. DeGrom's projected for 185. Let's just talk about that for a second. Okay. So Jacob DeGrom, people were kind of tepid to draft him last year, Ben, because coming off the injury, not throwing a ton of pitches out here. Innings last year, DeGrom throws 172 and two-thirds innings, 2.97 ERA, 185 strikeouts, outstanding across the board, Ben. But now, and that is 172 innings, Ben, it was in 2024 through 10 and two-thirds, 2023, 30 innings, 2022, 64, 92. He hadn't thrown triple-digit innings since 2019. There's three straight 200-pitch innings, or 200-innings-pitched seasons. Now, for 2026, Steamer has him projected for 185 innings, Ben, with 214 Ks, a 3.46 ERA, and 109 whip. But I just, when we use these projections to kind of start self-evaluating ourselves, where are you at on DeGrom? Because I love the skills. I was completely wrong last season. I am not putting money down on him throwing 185 innings this year.
No, I think that's the wise bet, Bubba, is to take the under if that was the over-under for DeGrom's innings. And one thing I'll note right off the bat, which is going to tie into, I guess, what I'm going to mention as well is, so we were talking about how we don't really look at pitcher projections all that much in terms of like the strikeout ERA whip. But when I do my personal evaluations of players, when I'm looking at like their underlying metrics, I do want to see where they rank in terms of the other pitchers. I think that's valuable because if you're looking at the whip, for example, no one's projected for a whip under one, which I guess makes sense. Like you shouldn't project for a whip that low, but Brian Woos is 113 and I think his career whip is one. So right off the bat, it's telling me, okay, they're kind of pessimistic when it comes to the whip, at least Steamer is with these projections. So, and for that reason, like if you were to plug this into Ryan's draft tracker, your team whips probably be pretty inflated no matter who you pitch because of how high your aces are at this point.
So too, it's not just the way I draft. Okay. Good to know.
Well, you make Steamer then, Bubba, because all the whips are so high.
Oh, yeah. Me. I make projections. We know that.
Yeah. So, going back to my point, it's where they relate to each other. Like, so the ranking of their total Z-scores is what I care about more. And tying that back into DeGrom now, so he's the fifth pitcher based off his Steamer and these Z-scores. If you take his innings down to like 160, he's falling at least past like Gilbert and Webb, who are pitchers 11 and 12. So those innings, when they're tied with a good ERA and whip, it's going to make a huge difference in the valuations. I know a lot of people have said this in other shows I've listened to, especially like the farther you go down the draft board, like picks in the hundreds and 200s, a small change in a projection can have a massive value, shift in those ranges. And with DeGrom, I don't get how you project him at his age for more innings than he got last year when we were so happy with what he gave us. So, yeah, I think the 185 is definitely a little pie in the sky-ish for me.
Yep, completely agree with you there. I just, again, I root for DeGrom. I don't want to see an injured DeGrom, but I don't know how you come to that conclusion. Again, I know they're just, you know, doing their system, and that's how it came to be. But, yeah, I'm nowhere near that system. Just real quick, when we're looking at Jacob DeGrom right now, for the first 11 draft champions drafts, ADP is 42.55, as high as 32. So he's a third round pick right now. If you're looking at DCs, which is, you got to pay the piper for that one.
That'd be a value considering where he's projected right now. But
well, there you go.
Who believes the projection, I guess.
You got Christopher Sanchez as the seventh pitcher. He's projected well. But then there's Zach Wheeler. This is one of those, do you believe in Wheeler? And honestly, I feel like this projection's baking in the potential late start to the season. They got Wheeler at 165 innings, 190 strikeouts, 3.2 ERA, 109 whip. You don't have to, like, go out on a limb here and say, yeah, I'm all in on Wheeler or whatever, because I already have two shares in two drafts. I've kind of staked my case. But what are your thoughts here? He finished with almost 150 innings before the injury last year, and early reports and even a report out of FPAS looking at his injury, Wheeler should be ready right around opening day. Like, he should be, like, part of spring training ready for opening day, unless there's a setback, which always possible.
Yeah, that's pretty good then. They're being conservative, I would say, because I was looking at Wheeler's career stats, and that year where he had the shoulder scare in spring training, that was 2022, he only threw 26 games, it looks like, and he had 153 innings. And that was basically with missing a month, which is kind of like six starts. So if he's ready for the start of opening day, Wheeler, then, yeah, this is a very conservative projection, and he's still starting pitcher seven. So I think a lot of it's driven by the high K rate, because he projected for 190 innings in those 165 innings. Of course, his ERA and WHIP are near the top of who I see here listed out. And any slight uptick in those innings, and he's probably passing Sanchez and definitely DeGrom, because I think DeGrom is more likely to go down. And then, of course, Wheeler's injury is so scary. It's the other version of it is sometimes career ending for pitchers, because it happened to Matt Harvey, but he had a different version of it. So if Wheeler is up to like 175, he's probably projected for as hitter five right now.
Yeah, I'm a huge Wheeler fan. Just like to highlight how good he's been the last 5 years. K to walk over 20%. Last year, a 33% K rate, 27.7% K to walk. And his whip rates over the last 5 years, starting back to 2021, 1.01, 1.04, 1.08, 0.96, 0.94. Dude's an actual absolute beast on the mound. So now, does he come back to that form? There's a million questions with his injury, but just the fact that Steamer, at least projecting him, is like kind of taking that step back. That was a quick standing out point to me. It's like, okay. And to then what you said is they're taking a step back with Wheeler, because you mentioned that the year he missed time to start the year, but even like in 2024, 200 innings, 192 innings, he missed. The 2022 was down to 153. Then it was 213, 195. Like, when he's out there, he's out there. So it's not like he's not throwing. So the fact they tipped him back to 165 innings, he's still the fifth pitcher or seventh pitcher off the board. That's a pretty good sign. Again, it's early and things can change, but I like to see that. Like, he's one. We talked about those updates as things update. As news comes out on Wheeler, those projections might shift. So keep an eye on that one. Cole Reagans is number eight. He's another guy that came back and threw a little bit last year. I like this projection. I think it's optimistic for the innings, but not crazy. I don't know what your thoughts are on Reagans here, projected for 172 innings and 210 strikeouts.
Initially, this one's kind of scary for me. It's probably more so than DeGrom, because as far as we know, DeGrom's healthy right now, and Reagans, he did come back at the end of the season after his shoulder injury, but it's a shoulder injury, and he didn't really have surgery, did he, Reagans, as far as we know?
No, he did not. He rehabbed.
Yeah, so that's probably why he returned midseason. Yeah. Yeah, so I'm pretty sure his ADP is not at this level, like the projection's saying.
It's 662.
Yeah, so kind of like with DeGrom, if you're going off of projections while you're drafting right now, you're just going to see that a big value with either one of these guys, Reagans and DeGrom. And so with Reagans, Yeah, I don't know. Well, if he's healthy at end of the year and he's going to go into 2026 healthy, knock on wood, it shouldn't drop down at least. So I guess skills-wise, Steamers is thinking that he is a top eight starter right now. And I don't think he was actually drafted that high last year either. Right? He was close to it because I know I had him at SP1 on a couple of teams, unfortunately. But his underlying numbers were still really good. He had a 15.8% swing strike rate, Reagan's. The only thing that was really bad was the BABIP in the left on base. And I think people were complaining about that. They're waiting for that regression to hit. And then said he got hurt. And his K-minus walk rating was 30%. That was, God, that's so high. That's elite stuff for him. And yeah, so if he shows that he's healthy in spring training, Reagan's, I think it's, you should feel pretty comf. Well, the upside is there. The shoulder is scary though, especially since he had I think he had two Tommy Johns already. And he just got moved to a starting role, and maybe his bias can't handle it. And now we're seeing that happen. But as long as you don't have to pay a top 10 price for him, there's a good chance of profit, I'll say.
Yeah, I'm intrigued by Reagan's just because he came back. He still threw well. He was dominating before he got hurt. Again, tons of questions when it comes to starting pitchers, but I didn't mention it. So we did the Grom's ADP was 42. Reagan's was 62. Zach Wheeler's is 110. Like, it gets real interesting at those little, where do you take your value? After Reagan's was Brian Wu, who you previously mentioned. I want to highlight the 10th pitcher on this board because now is where we start talking ADP shifts. We're talking guys that maybe annoyed people last year, but this wonderful individual had an ADP of 148 right now, and he's the 10th starting pitcher according to projections, and that's Sonny Gray. He's projected for 191 innings pitch, 200 strikeouts, 3.45 ERA, 1.17 WHIP. And he did a lot. Like, he threw 180 innings this last year, which was, you know, after 166 and 184. So he's only cracked 200 or more twice, and that was back in 2015 and 2014. So when you see this 191 projection, maybe take a step back. But I will say, when it comes to ratios with Sonny Gray, when it comes to strikeouts, back-to-back 200 plus K seasons, I love this projection. I think the projection is really strong there. My only concern for me is, will the innings get there to make this full projection work?
Right. I don't see how you can project him for 191 innings at this point in Sonny Gray's career. But I do recall that he looked pretty good under the surface last year going into drafts. I ended up not getting Gray because everyone really liked him. I had him ranked pretty highly, but it's just someone I just never ended up with. And looking at his underlying metrics, a lot of green based on the sheet I have here. He had kind of an elevated BABIP, Sonny Gray 329. So that's a little in the red based on what I have here. His xFIP is 307. That's a dark green on my sheet. And his K-minus walk was over 21%. That's awesome. The swing strike was about average, 12%. Not terrible, though. And, yeah, I think he's got unlucky last year, Gray. And as someone who didn't have him, I don't have that bad taste in my mouth. So I'll be more likely to take him around ahead of his ADP if I feel like I have to, because you're getting a nice discount this year, and skills-wise, he's a pretty good pitcher still. And this projection is massive, but I think that it's definitely a little too optimistic.
Yeah, and you said the people that rostered might have the sour taste, and some do. I actually am very optimistic. I've had Gray for like two or three straight. I'm a big Sonny Gray fan, and I'll be all in on what took place last year. So. I hope people are not as excited about him. Now there's the flip side of this conversation, because the debate many were having like the first few weeks after the season ended is who was the SP4? Who are we going with SP4? And Yamamoto, after the end of the postseason, kind of took that over, Ben. But it felt like before Yamamoto did his thing, it felt like a lot of people were saying Logan Gilbert's name. Logan Gilbert's name was coming up a lot as the fourth pitcher off the board. Right now, he's projected to be the 11th pitcher off the board. That's a lot. A lot different than fourth. He's projected for 166 innings, 182 Ks, a 3.39 ERA, and a 1.1 WHIP. Logan Gilbert threw 131 innings last year. But prior to that, Ben, it was three straight years of 185 or more innings. So my question, and you could obviously go deeper than my question, the projected 166 innings, I feel, is low for Logan Gilbert in this scenario, barring an injury. So if you believe he is the fourth pitcher, I guess it comes down to how many innings you think he throws, because then that might obviously jump him up there.
Yeah. So the couple of guys we just mentioned, DeGrom and Cole Reagans are projected for more innings than Logan Gilbert right now, first teamer, which despite the like the troubles Gilbert had, and he was on the velo list. I forget what year it was, but I think it was going into last year, the updated velo list after everyone else got wiped off of the previous season. Because he throws like 97, which I think it's like 97 average for Gilbert, 97, 98, which isn't as high as the other guys, but relative to who was remaining, it was high. And it's funny how the Grom got the boost last year in innings, and now he's projected for even more now, whereas Gilbert finally had the one bad year, and now he's way down. Like, they just chopped off 30 innings off what he's been doing lately. So, what'd you say his ADP was, Gilbert?
I'll tell you right now. I know many were saying he was the fourth. No, I didn't say it, but I'll tell you right now. It is 32, 10 picks before DeGrom.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, so I'm not surprised to hear that the NFBC DC people are not worried about him at all, Gilbert. And, yeah, I'm sure Steamer will catch up because, like we said at the start of the show, that a lot can change in terms of volume. So, like, guys will get volume reduced, but I'm sure people like Gilbert will have theirs increased as well once more news comes out or other factors go into the formula that spits out the projections. So I think I like more of a discount than what the 32 is, I think is what you said. And yep. So maybe I won't be touching Gilbert when I start drafting, but we'll see.
Yeah, I always have a tough time trying to figure out what to do with Logan Gilbert. I like the talents, but I don't know. That 32 is going to be way too rich for me. Just the way I draft in general, you can tell right away. Next up's Logan Webb. He's a guy, this one, 199 innings projected. Some people might scoff at that, but it's been three straight years of 204 or more, four straight of 192 or more. So the innings, the workhorse part doesn't bother me as much. The 187 Ks, 3.32 ERA, and 1.21 whip. That's where questions can be made, but I agree with it because his K rates and his ratios basically fluctuate every year. So this is one of those projections. As long as they get the innings right, you can kind of – if you believe the other people's projections, you got to believe these ones.
Yeah. So Webb's the first guy that has a whip that's higher than 1.2. And it's 1.21. And at that volume, if he's your ace, that's going to hurt because you – if someone has Crochet as their ace and he's at one or less than one, probably you have a lot of ground to make up with your other six starting pitchers, assuming that you do a 7-2. And as we know, the farther you get into a draft, it's harder to find those sure things. You could hit on like an Eovaldi, but those chances are pretty low. So with Webb, I'm sure he got a boost compared to where he was last year, ADP wise.
Yeah.
But even though Steamer's saying he's an SP1, whether it's a 12 teamer or a 15 teamer, I think he's more like probably an SP2. Still, he did have, like you said, he did have the great jump and strikeout rate, but the ground balls will keep the BABIP elevated, and a lot of volume of a 1-2 whip could hurt a little bit. It won't. It's not going to hurt, but it's not going to help you like a top pitcher should. So, it's tricky when it comes to Webb.
Yep, that was the discussion point at FPAS. With as good as Webb was, you know, he led the National League, I believe, in strikeouts, and it was major leagues and innings or vice versa on that one. It had to be National League in strikeouts because Scooble led the world. So, yeah, we'll go with that. But that was the point. The whip, yeah, Webb's great, but you're throwing 212 innings. That's tough. That'll hit you hard when it sits there. And I'm a Webb fan. I think he's a fine SP2 or SP3. Actually, I have him an SP2 in one league already. But his ADP is 52 now. He's not an SP2 unless you're very aggressive in pitching. And him as your SP1 becomes very tricky at this point in time. Again, things can change. All right, your third Seattle Mariner in the first 13 pitchers. Their staff's pretty good, Ben. Not sure if you're aware of that, but they're pretty good. I know you are. Sarcasm. But I found this interesting. We just talked about Logan Gilbert. A guy that's been a model of innings consistency, has his first setback, and he gets a massive drop in projected innings. Now you got George Kirby, projected for 178 innings and 174 Ks. He's another guy, back-to-back 190 pitch innings, 190 innings pitched seasons. I keep doing that every time. but in 2025, with the injuries, Kirby threw 126. He threw like seven fewer innings than Logan Gilbert, yet George Kirby is projected for 12 more innings than Logan Gilbert. So, you know, it's only a couple starts, a lot can change. But my point being is they are at least giving Kirby a little runway that they did not give Gilbert, per se. What's your thoughts on this projection with George Kirby that I'm kind of torn on as well?
So as I was pulling up Kirby's underlying metrics, and they stood out a lot to Webb's, Logan Webb's, and I pulled them back up side by side, and their K and walk numbers were almost identical. They both had a – so Webb had a 26.2% K rate. Kirby's was 26.1. And then their K minus walk, Webb was 20.8, and Kirby was 20.6. And I feel like going into last year, we thought Kirby was probably a better strikeout pitcher than Webb. But, of course, he had that massive jump, Webb. Like we said, he led the majors or the NL in strikeouts. But even the swinging strike rates for the two guys are I'll say they're below average. Webb was 10.7, Kirby's 11.8, which is better, but it's still a little underwhelming. And Kirby had some batted ball issues. His EV was 90.6 miles per hour. Hard hit was 43.9%. His xERA was 3.85, which kind of lines up with a little bit elevated hard hit. So the thing with, I guess Gilbert and Kirby had the same, their argument for taking them, because they're mentioned the Seattle pitchers, was that they're going to be in Seattle, they're going to be safer volume and good ratios, but we just saw that the volume isn't safe. So now that we know that they're not Iron Men, should they still be going at as high as they have been historically, because we had that perceived safety? And like, look at Reagan's, he has the elite stuff, but the health is an issue. So it ultimately comes down to ADP, of course, but if you think Reagan's is healthier, he could be a massive win compared to what you think the safety is for Kirby or Gilbert. So did you mention what Kirby's ADP has been so far?
I was just going to Kirby's ADP 67. It's 5 picks after Reagan's and 35 picks after Gilbert.
Yeah, I feel like I'd rather have Reagan's, because he came back. Because he's projected for 40 more strikeouts than innings, Reagan's, and Kirby's projected for 4 fewer strikeouts than innings.
Comes down, like, if you're the projection guy and you just want, and you're going to trust projections, again, we don't trust pitching projections all the way, but there are avenues here, as we're discussing. Cole Reagan's Z score is 10.17, Gilbert's 9.63, Kirby's 9.32. Like, does that difference in Z score do anything for you, or is it just more looking at the projected statistics?
Kirby, he hasn't by almost 2 points, Reagan's. That's a lot. And I think it's mainly because of the strikeouts. He's projected for 40 more strikeouts than Kirby, which I would take the strikeout projection as definitely the most telling pitcher stat if you're going to look at projections. Because we know that, because Skeens is projected for as many wins as Crochet, 13. I bet everyone listening would say that Crochet is going to get more wins than Skeens next year, assuming health. And then the ERA and the whip, I already mentioned how the whips are running high. And then the ERA is so dependent on team factors, luck, BABIP, left on base. So just looking at the strikeouts alone, I think that, and I think that's reflected in why the Z-scores are so much different for Reagan's versus Gilbert and Kirby, because even Reagan's has 30 Ks on Gilbert, essentially, which is a massive amount when you're talking like these finite projections that are, any little tweak can mean a big difference in value. So I think, to your original, I think it is meaningful that Reagan's is his Z-score so much higher. And if, I'm sure it would reflect in the dollar value as well, because it's the Z-score is applied, is like you get like a ratio of dollars to Z-score, essentially, is one way you would probably do it. And that 2 Z-score difference that Reagan's has right now is going to be very impactful dollar wise.
This is, again, this is just pure narrative street here, but this is one of the reasons why I stand by it and other people do too. And you chuckle because we're idiots, me, not you, is this is where the quote unquote value in early drafting kind of comes into play. I feel like now, again, these projections can change, but if you're just looking at numbers, then you look at where the ADP is actually at. There's a combination. There's so much recency bias for the early drafting. And then just people like, okay, they did this. So it's kind of recency bias baked in, but it's where they might think they'll go. Not actually, you know, not using the projection systems. So it's one of those, if you start punching in these numbers and just get these prices or Z scores, as you mentioned, and all of a sudden you got a like I said, Wheeler's at like 112, Reagan's is at 62, then you have like Gilbert at 32. There's a lot of differences there based on if you're a projection drafter, what the projections say. Before we carry on, Ben, to one of the first really, really intriguing names on this list, congratulations. Aaron Judge is your AL MVP. Beats out Cal Raleigh 355-335. It was a tight one.
Oh, that's really close, actually.
Yeah. So it was tight. I'd like to see the breakdown of how that all goes. It'll come out later because even J-Ram had like 224 points, Witt at 215. So it wasn't just like it was a two-headed race, but it wasn't, if that makes sense. Because usually, like, you'll see, like, in pitching, if it's just two pitchers, like, everybody else gets, like, you know, fourth-place votes, it feels like. So that's the big dumper just missed out as Judge gets it again, which is pretty darn. It's his third in five seasons. Pretty good stuff.
It should have been that close, though, because Raleigh had a pretty wild year. So I'm not surprised it was close, but I am glad that Judge got it, of course.
Figured I'd give you a positive, as usually I bring you bad news. So we'll go there.
No, you're not that bad.
I know, I'm joking. But this is where like my brain struggles with wrapping like around how scoring works here. But it makes sense if you take a step back. Mason Miller is the 14th pitcher on the list. The first closer on the list, Ben. Mason Miller is projected for 66 innings. 4 wins, 32 saves. More importantly, though, because those are counting stats that are tough to predict, 104 strikeouts, 2.38 ERA, and a 1 whip. Now, first, this is assuming Mason Miller closes, which I am leaning he still does this year. Could be wrong. But I remember you had plenty of shares, you had at least one big share, and you're using him even when he wasn't the closer in San Diego last year. But I just wanted to highlight 2.63 ERA last year, 2.49 in 2024. The whip was 0.91, 0.88 the last two seasons. We saw 104 strikeouts in each of the last two seasons. Oh, look, he's projected for 104 this season. This projection might sound crazy to some. It seems pretty spot on to me, Ben.
Yeah, he's as dominant, Miller. And it's just a matter of if Suarez gets re-signed, which I doubt will happen, but you never know. Or if they sign another reliever in San Diego. And I doubt Miller becomes a starter. I think he's just built to be a closer at this point. He's shown he can succeed in the role. And his track record of health in the minors is just not there to be a starter. So I don't think they'd want to risk getting him injured. And one thing I'll note since before we move on is looking at the Z-score components, Mason Miller's ERA Z-score is actually better than George Kirby's based on the projections.
Nice.
Yeah,
that's really impressive.
And his whip is better than the next pitcher's.
Let me give you a quick question though before we move on to that said next pitcher. And no, it's not Nick Kurtz. We're talking ADP, Ben, and we know closers go off the board early in DCs because of no waiver wire. Mason Miller's ADP is 46, Ben. 46.
Okay.
He's the fourth closer off the board.
I would say that's a pretty good value compared to how projections look.
So I want to throw out there. It goes Andres, we'll talk about some of these guys, but Munoz is at 40, Diaz 44, Duran 45, Miller 46. So they're all right next to each other, but he's fourth in that mix. All right, that pitcher you were talking about, the 15th pitcher off the board, Max Fried. Projected for 189 innings and 179 strikeouts. Pinstripes did him well in his first season there, Ben. It felt like a rockier ride than it might have been, but 195 innings was a career high. 19 wins led baseball, 2.86 ERA, and a 1.1 whip. It's been 1.16 or below every year since 2020, which is really good. And that's where that 1.23 whip they're projecting him for kind of surprises me, honestly.
Yeah, so when I was looking at his stats, that's what stood out to me was the whip being so high. It's even higher than Webb's. And then you just read off how good it's been the last few years for Fried. So I don't know. So I pulled up his underlying metrics, and maybe – I don't know. Maybe because they're not buying the swing strike rate because Fried had a decent BABIP last year, nothing outlandish. the contact against wasn't that bad. Hard hit was only 37%. His exit velocity was actually really good, 87.2 miles per hour on average. His xERA was 3.4. So nothing there says that his whip should be that high. Maybe they're just baking in some age regression, maybe. I don't know. It's always tricky to speculate on what's driving some of these abnormalities that we think are present in these projections. But with Freed, still, compared to these other guys, I'll be more cautious like I was last year, which is unfortunate because I was a big Freed drafter going the years prior to 2025. And his swing strike rate's barely above 11% last year. And just knowing from watching the Yankees, and despite not having him on any teams, I think you kind of mentioned that, like, he was either lights out Freed or he was horrible. Like, there was no in between, it felt like, last year when he was pitching. He was extremely streaky. And in Roto, it's all right. You just kind of hope that the cold streak ends in time so you get a more hot streak. But in, like, a head-to-head, that could be kind of – it can make you want to pull your hair out probably if he's pitching to a 6 ERA for, like, a month or two, however long it was.
I rostered Freed for a few seasons, if you can't tell.
You gotta cut the ties then, Bubba. Maybe it's too late.
It's too late. We're way past that.
Yeah, I don't have his ground ball rate up in front of me, but I know that's – I think that went down a little bit last year. That's kind of been what saved him a lot in the past, which is also interesting too, because, like, if his ground ball rate's going down, I feel like the whip would go down as well, because that's the local web problem, a high ground ball rate, high whip. Those ground balls sneak through the infield every once in a while. So I don't know. They're just being cautious for whatever reason, Steamer, and do you have a Freed's ADP right now?
Yep, got it for you right here. It's 59. So again, he's going before Cole Reagans.
Oh man, yeah.
There's a Cole. You're going to be so in love with Cole. You are probably praying they switch these projections up, because right now you're going to plug in your sheet. You're going to go into your first draft in January, and Cole Reagans will be staring you right in the face.
Oh, I said to see the 16% swing strike rate for Reagans, and I'm sold. That's all it is, yeah. Really.
Well, that's the thing is, and I've seen people tweet about it. I talked about it with Ryan on the review, SP1. Reagans was so good. Even when he came back, he made 3 appearances. I think it was a total of maybe like 14 or 15 innings off the top of my head. So they kind of babied him, but they wanted to get him to work. And he looked like the guy that he was before he got hurt, which gives me the, like, okay, I'm in. Like, I'm back. I saw it. He's healthy. They're going to throw him as many innings as he can. Like, I know we're back on Cole Reagans all of a sudden, but I'm just trying to justify, like, why you're also saying that the projections are saying it, yet the ADP is not happening yet. And that'll shift. That'll shift also. Again, draft early. Ben might not have to worry about it, because when he finally drafts, he'll be like the 4th pitcher off the board. You don't have to worry about it. But I'm just trying to add more kind of to the why you like him while the projections like him, yet the ADP doesn't conversation.
So I pulled up his game log, Reagans, because I wasn't in tune with what happened when he came back. And he made 3 starts coming off the aisle and end the season. He had 22 strikeouts in, what was that, in like 13 innings.
There you go, yeah.
22 and 13. That's, of course, it's 13 innings, but that rate is insane. And I definitely contributed to his high swing strike rate. So, well, yeah, to your point, he came back looking very healthy.
Let's dig it in even more. We're turning this into, this is why I love this time of year pods. You guys go down rabbit holes, and we can always do part 2 and talk more names if we have to. But so, like, to your point, so it was the 13 innings, it was the 20. He only had 4 walks, Ben. 4 walks over that.
22
like,
to 4.
That tells me a lot. Like, so he had a 37.5% K to walk. 37.5. That's lunacy is what that is to me. You were talking about the swinging strike. Do you know what his – I have it in front of me. I was curious. Do you know what his swinging strike was in those 13 innings?
I'm going to guess it was like 20 probably.
21.4. Oh my God. Like, I'm just saying – again, I understand they're small samples. People are going to point to that. But it's the old adage, like, hey, like Wheeler, we don't know. Like, I'm blindly optimistic on Wheeler. Reagans pitched 3 times within a 5-day span, like, on a schedule. Like, that just gives me so much more hope. And again, can be stupid hope. And he didn't just come back and get his innings in. He dominated, which is a whole other level to it. So, yes, Cole Reagans for the way. That's your takeaway, folks. Go get your Cole Reagans while you still can. And then when he gets hurt in, like, July, don't call me. But if he pitches to July, I'll probably be pretty happy with what we get. So I'll be okay with it at that point in time.
And I pulled up his velocity on Fangraphs for those 3 games. And all 3 games, he averaged over 95 miles per hour on his fastball. which was in line with at least the back half of 2024.
We're back. Yep. Giddy up. All right. The man that everyone probably showed up to hear one of us talk about, because you and I are both heavily invested in one Jesus Luzardo. And
was heavily invested.
You were. I still am. I still have. He's very near and dear to my heart. Ben cut ties. He's a stronger man than I. It was funny. This is how Ben and I know each other so well. It was pretty much the first name both of us mentioned when we got online. When we looked at this chart, stood out to us right away where he was here. Luzardo's the 16th pitcher, according to projections. 181 innings, 199 Ks for Luzardo, 357, 119. To me, with Luzardo, Ben, it always comes down to, do you trust the workload? Like last year, we saw 183. It was 66 in 2024 because of injury, but the 178 prior to that. So if he's healthy, the workload seems legit. When he pitches those innings, the ratios are pretty good. And both those two, 183 and 178, he had over 200 Ks, Ben. So I love the projection as long as he throws the innings.
Yes. I think he had a shoulder injury the year before Luzardo, which to the same vein as we're talking about with Reagan's again, shocker, I'm going to mention him again. I don't think, did Luzardo ever have surgery though? I can't remember for that far back.
I believe he did. I can check while we,
Cause if Luzardo did have surgery, then okay, he should be good now. And his fastball was, I felt like watching his game logs last year, because I was heavily invested in Luzardo at the end of 2025, was like he was averaging 99, it felt like, or 98 on StatCast, which was more than enough velocity for what he needs to be good. So I know Chris Towers on CBS has always mentioned that if Luzardo's fastball goes below a certain threshold, he's kind of in trouble because other pitches aren't as good. But he was well above that velocity, it seemed like, last year. And of course, we kind of mentioned with Gilbert, if you're throwing that hard, you're going to be at risk for getting hurt. And 2 years ago, Luzardo was hurt. So, of course, he's getting pushed up because of the K numbers that he had. And he had a 21 on the nose K minus walk Luzardo last year, which is very good. It's showing. So those two blow up starts are showing. And then the BABIP and the left on base, the BABIP for him was 324, a little high. Left on base was 69.4%. Not so nice, a little low as well. And that explains why his ERA was closer to 4 when his CR was like 3.4, his XFIP was 3.25. Even his XERA was 3.31 for Luzardo. And most of the metrics I have on my screen right now are some shade of green, which is what you want to see for when I'm looking at pitchers doing my ranking. So despite having Luzardo on my do not draft list right now because of the massive headache he was for me last year, he did help me down the stretch. I know that's been your big argument when I've heard you and Ryan talk about Luzardo, is how he righted the ship to end the season. And unfortunately, because of what happened in season, I didn't get all of his good starts because I was scared of starting Luzardo at times because of how bad he was. So I didn't get all of the rebound, but skills wise, despite those two, what we think were tipping outings, I think he should be projected very well again, and that's what Seamer's doing right now. It's actually surprising to see Luzardo have a lower WHIP projection than Fried by 0.04. And I think Fried has a better walk rate than Luzardo as well, which is also very interesting. So these could very well, like we mentioned at some point before, the actual numbers could change. But the fact that Fried and Luzardo are back, I'll say this, I'd rather have Luzardo than Fried next year, I think, and they're neck and neck here on Steamer. Probably because of the strikeout upside would, in my mind, correlate better to fantasy success.
Yep, I'll take Luzardo every time over Fried, and I'll die on that hill, and I could easily die on that hill because it's Luzardo. But to your question, he had a forearm injury in 2022 with the Marlins. Don't believe he had surgery because he didn't miss any time. He's back in 2023. He didn't like pitch a ton of innings in 2023. He threw 107. Well, yeah, through 178 in 2022, through 100. So he basically missed the second half of 2022. Came back fine in 2023. In 2024, he had an elbow injury in early April, and he missed 16 games. And then he had a back injury in June, which forced him to miss the rest of the season. So no shoulders, no surgeries in a while, at least since I thought he had Tommy John when he was really young, but I could be totally wrong there.
He probably did.
Yeah.
I guess the back is better than any, but sure. It was what, forearm in the start?
Yeah, forearm in 2022. Yeah, and then the back injury. 2022. He missed nearly 90 games in 2024 with the back injury.
Damn.
So, yeah, weird stuff for Jesus Lizard. All right, a couple more here. Joe Ryan is the 18th pitcher on the board, projected for 182 innings, 190. His line is basically the same as Lizardo's, except his ERA is worse. It's the best way I could put it, just to make it quick and simple.
Yeah, he's the better whip too, which isn't surprising. Joe Ryan, I think if he gets the, I think his ERA has been lower than that. They're probably just going off the fly ball rate with him, I would imagine. That's why it's 3.8. Joe Ryan, his ERA the last, he's been below it the last 2 years. His ERA has been 3.42 last year, and then 2024 Ryan's was 3.60, and I would take out. Yeah, I was a big Joe Ryan fan last year. I think despite the poor finish to his season, assuming everything looks good skills wise, I'd probably be back in. I know his ADP has jumped a lot, but I think the ERA will be better than 3.83.
Yeah, we'll go two things here on Joe Ryan, and I agree. I like Ryan a lot. I like the skills. No issue drafting him. But if we're talking, looking at projections to help kind of evaluate for draft time, Joe Ryan's ADP is 55, Lizardo's 91. That's a massive, massive ADP shift. And when we're talking ADP of 58 for Joe Ryan, he's a pick in front of Max Fried. I think I'd rather have Ryan. Maybe, yeah.
And I definitely had it that way last year.
He's 3 picks after Brian Wu, and he's 6 picks after Logan Webb.
We didn't really talk about Wu, but I am not touching Wu.
No, that's why I skipped him, just for my own health. I want nothing to do with him again. I got it so wrong, and I will continue to just avoid. He nearly had Tommy John twice in one season. I don't know. Yep. Yeah.
So. Next guy's all yours, Bubba.
Yeah, this is great. So it's kind of funny, actually, that Lizardo's 16th and this guy's 18th, right next to each other. Staples of my team. One did very well, one underlying metrics looked very well. Those don't count in fantasy. Dylan Cease, projected for 185 innings, the 18th pitcher, according to projections, 215 Ks, 3.61 ERA, 1.22 whip. And honestly, bias aside, projections rather fair in my mind, because this is who Dylan Cease is. It's like he either has the great ERA or he doesn't. But if you look at his Sierras and everything, it's always it was 3.58 last year, 3.46, 4.10, 3.48, 3.57. It's like under the hood, as people love that term, he's always been very good. And the part I love, I've said it a million times on my shows, I've said it in FPAS, 5 straight seasons of 214 or more strikeouts. You don't find that anywhere. He's projected for 215. Like, to me, this projection is pretty dead on. It's just a matter of, is that his ERA projected or his Sierra that's projected at this point in time?
So I pulled up some stuff. Do you know what his swing strike rate was last year? So Cease's?
Off the top of my head, no. I know I felt like he was kind of taking a step back in his dominance, but he was pretty much, he might have been better.
He had a career high in swing strike
rate. Yeah, it was better. No, that's what Ryan kept trying to like give me hope. Every time we look at a bloom board, it's like the underachieving side, but you look at it, like, he's still so good.
Okay, then now a different angle. Do you know what his left on base has been the last 3 years in a row, Cease's?
It's probably the low 70s.
Lower. It's been 69% roughly the last 3 years in a row.
Way below league average.
So that's kind of weird. Maybe he just doesn't know how to pitch.
Well, that seems very obvious at times, Ben. If you look at his walk rates.
Yeah, that's kind of an obvious statement to say.
Yeah, if you look at a few other parts. Well, here's the other part, though, okay? He had a 320 BABIP last year.
Yeah.
Then you combine that with that left on base rate. That's called a recipe for disaster.
Well, okay. So this is going to be fun. So 2022. Well,
I'm glad you're having fun with this.
Well, I invested in Cease the one good year. So I got super lucky when I did buy into him that one time. In 2022, he had 2.20 ERA. And his left on base was 82.3%. His BABIP was 260. So both were fortunate. The BABIP and the left on base were fortunate in the opposite directions, but like, to work out for a pitcher. 2023, he regressed to a 4.58 ERA and more than doubled. His BABIP went to 330, then he went to 69.4% for the first year. 2024, 3.47 ERA, so much better than 2023. Left on base was still the same, 69.4%, but then the BABIP went back down to 263. And then last year, it went back up to 320, left on base stayed at 69%, but then the ERA was 4.55. So it's basically just his BABIP has been going up and down, up and down. And then he had the 1 year with a high left on base rate. So I don't know. I feel like he's at the mercy of luck, Cease, every year. And I guess it really comes down to his price. So what's his ADP right now? Do you have that?
I'll get it for you right here. Dylan Cease, the GOAT, is 85.
Definitely a discount, but I don't know. If I'm pitcher heavy and he's my – so that's round six. If he's my third SP, I would do it. Yeah, he'd be a phenomenal SP3, I think.
He'd be a great SP3.
In a 15-teamer is my
–
yeah, especially even at a 12, though, too.
Yeah, the SP2, he's got to have the good year now. That's where it gets tough. It's like if he even has his down year, but he's the SP3, like between those strikeouts and if you're top two, if you're going pitcher heavy, they probably have much better ratios. They could catapult you to an extent. But yeah, this is where it gets tricky, especially in 15. It's like, is the three early pitchers like that worth it when it comes to whatever hitters you're going against? Possibly. That's why we draft early to find out. We're not going to talk about this pitcher tonight. I don't see him in the board. Pitcher going, I believe it's three picks after Dylan Cease is 84.8, so 85. Yuri Perez is 87, two picks later. I'd have Cease over Yuri pretty easily for me, but I don't know. What do you think?
I had a search. I had a control F for Yuri. He is pitcher 58. They do not like him at all projections.
I'm guessing innings pitched is an issue for Yuri, is my guess.
154, his ERA is almost four.
Ooh, yeah, that won't do it.
And only nine wins. That's going to hurt. Let me check out his underlying numbers real quick. That's what I'm really going to focus my analysis on, is how he looked skills-wise. That's not who I want. Yuri. He was unlucky with BABIP and left on base last year. He was lucky with BABIP, unlucky with left on base, Yuri. His contact against was an issue. His hard hit was 46.5%. Oh, man, I would definitely take Cease.
Yep. I think it's rather easy as well. The other one I'll ask you, going 10 picks ahead of Cease at 74, Spencer Schwellenbach.
Oh, I listened to him on the Sleeper in the Bust FPAS edition episode. Yep. They were talking about
him. He was doing so good before he got hurt.
Yeah, I was a big Schwellenbach fan. He went so early in some main events that I was in. It was wild. Yep. He had a rib issue, right?
Yes. That's why there's still optimism, because his injury wasn't arm or shoulder or anything related. So you're like, okay, just heal.
Yeah, I would take him over Cease.
All right.
The K's won't be there, but I feel safer about the ratios. Well, okay. The K's will be there, but not to Cease's level, of course.
Ben, I'm going to make the executive decision. And Schwellenbach's the 28th pitcher off the board, by the way. We're going to end it on that part because I want to pick up where we left off, because we have another slew of potential aces. Like, we started ace heavy and then it kind of got a little murky there for a second. There's another chunk of aces, including Mitch Keller, coming up. So I want to talk about these next week, if possible, if that's cool with you.
Oh, yeah. We can do some more deep dives.
I think it's a good exercise to deep dive into pitching and kind of get an idea of early ADP versus projections. And obviously, come January, none of this might matter because it's going to change so much. But there's a lot of early drafters, so we'll poke some holes at things or maybe open your eyes to other things on this show. Final thoughts on what we talked about tonight, though, as it's kind of – I know it's – the longer you podcast with me, I'm just warning you, you're going to start drafting earlier eventually. You are. Because I can see the itch. It's like last year you were hard panned on what you're doing. You've been much more talkative about how interesting it looks to draft right now. So I'm not saying you're going to, but it's going to move up at some point.
The key for me is always the free agents, because I want to know who's on what team and what I can do for lineups and playing time.
I don't blame you on that.
Yeah, that's a big part for me. Because if I'm drafting a DC where I'm stuck and I think this guy's going to be my shortstop three and he's not, you could be screwed. So I don't know. That's kind of where I'm at. But to your point, though, last year I did start earlier than I did in previous seasons drafting and even prepping as well. It was usually end of December I would start doing it. I think I did it right after the winter meetings last year. So I'll at least start then this year, but I don't know. We'll see what happens.
All righty. So then on that note, we will wrap things up and we'll come back with you guys next week. I believe earlier in the week, we had some 2 weeks ago, I had issues that prevented a show the entire week. This week, Ben had technical difficulties. It's that time of the year, folks. Like with weather, I'm glad mine got through the evening. It's stormy out in this neck of the woods. But we'll be back to you guys next week to continue on from we left off at pitcher 18. The next group is pretty good, including a lot of closers pretty soon. So we can really start navigating that, which I think will be a good exercise because if you look at trying to rank closers right now, it's very complicated with so many free agents. But we'll be back to you guys next week. You can follow Ben on Twitter at BreakingBen_T. I'm at BDentric. This was Benched with Bubba, episode 790. Catch you all next time.